Well, church, good morning. Hey, I'm going to invite up to the stage here. This is our next generation team, if I could say that here this morning. Would you guys give it up for this team coming up here? Here you go, Kelly. We at Wilshire, we value reaching the next generation. And a lot of you know some of these faces and some new faces up here. And many of you know Pastor Saquon. He is our middle school. Give it up for Saquon. Come on. Our middle school and high school pastor here. And then we've got Miss Jenny, who is opening our, give it up for Miss Jenny. You know Miss Jenny. We introduced her earlier on this year. Opening up our preschool when? Tomorrow. How exciting is that? We've got 48 kids signed up so far, and I mean, if you know our mission, our vision, we are a multi-generational church. We have three services spanning all different generations, and we are going after this next generation, and our mission is to help people find and follow Jesus. This can be a safe place where people come and explore and learn and grow, but we're also very passionate about introducing Jesus to these families, and about half of her families don't know Jesus fully, and some don't go to church, and so we want to help shepherd them and disciple them. And so Jenny, thank you for your work there. And all of you know Pastor Kelly. If you've got a little one, give it up for Pastor Kelly. So Pastor Kelly continues, and many of you that have been the difference makers and serve with Pastor Kelly and just reaching has grown our children's program, brought so much excellence. So you've got a fresh word for us. Why don't you share and introduce?
Well, I want to introduce you to some new people on our team. We have a kids care program here that we've been operating for years, but we have decided to bring on a director, somebody who's joining Wilshire Avenue with his family. And so John comes with lots of experience. So John is joining us and is... Woo. And this is his wife, Nikki, and their little one, Emily. So he'll be starting on June 10th. We're super excited to have his experience come here and join us. And then we have Sylvia and her family, Jasmine and Joshua left. But they'll be here with her. Sylvia will be assisting in all the ministries. You'll see her everywhere in kids care and preschool with me, with Saquon. She'll be everywhere. But we're excited to have them join us. They definitely have a heart that is in line with Wilshire Avenue.
Yeah, come on. We are so excited just about what God's doing here. So right now in this moment, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for this team that leads the next generation and makes an impact. We talked about several weeks ago that this next generation from ages 18 to 34, in this generation, suicide is the second leading cause of death. And so there's a generation that's dying without hope. This next generation after millennials have more proclaimed atheists than ever before. And we as a church would argue that we would find hope in Jesus. And so our joy is to share the hope that we have with others. And so would you pray for this team? Would you pray for their families? Would you pray for just their security, their safety, and then also and success in the mission and sharing Jesus? And we want to thank God for bringing new family. And so we're so excited to have you guys as part of the team. Church, if you feel comfortable, if not, please feel free just to sit there. But if you feel comfortable, would you extend a hand as we pray? And it's symbolic of saying we are laying hands on them, praying for them, bathing them in prayer. So pray with me. Father, we thank you for this wonderful team, all the way from newborns until high school. Father, we want to see an impact in the future, and we know the way to impact the future is to impact this next generation. I thank you for this wonderful team that pours their hearts, their lives. They sacrifice for these children, for these students. God, we're so thankful for them. We thank you for them, for their gifts, the talents that they bring to this community. We thank you that they don't just have a heart for the children here, but the children in our city and abroad. And so we pray for the preschool opening tomorrow. We pray that kids would come and get to hear about you and the after school program. We just thank you for all of the good things that you're up to here at Wilshire. Father, help us to be faithful with the things that you've given us and to use it for your glory, honor, and power. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's give it up for them one more time. Thank you, team. Yeah, go for it. All right. So we are wrapping up our sermon series, Infinity Wars. And as Marvel talks about six different elements that control the power of the universe. And so we've looked at different things like time, space, mind, heart. And last week, Pastor Mark led us in the mind. And so this week, we're looking at wrapping it up with power. And today, we're talking about power. Now, power can be something that's used for good, and like many of us, we have a challenge with power, that we've seen power used for bad in many different ways. And so maybe we've been on the receiving end of maybe abuse of power, maybe a boss, or maybe even at church, or maybe on the news we see things in politics that affect us. And so sometimes we give up and we feel helpless when it comes to power. Yet there's something in the Bible, there's this word in the Bible, if we are going to understand power, we have to understand this one word. Without this word, we cannot understand power at all. You ready for this word? This is going to be the word that we're focusing on today. And here it is. Pull out your notes, take out your notes. Today, we're talking about honor. Honor. Now, honor is a word that maybe we've lost touch with it, but we still use it more than we think. We don't say, I honor you often, yet being involved in a wedding last weekend and seeing everyone up there and involved in it, you have the bridesmaids, but then there's one special one that is the what? Maid of honor. You think about, I remember sitting as a kid, we're in graduation season. All the schools around just graduated in our area Friday. So grads, if we have any grads here, do we have any grads? Where are you at? Yes, grads up there. Congratulations. I remember as a kid sitting and watching a graduation service and asking my mom, why are there stars next to a few names? Why don't some get stars? And she was saying, well, those are the ones that are on honor roll. And so I was like, oh, so I remember as a young kid wanting to work towards and receive that honor. Think about a judge. How do we approach a judge? You are supposed to say, your honor. Why? Honor is about respect and showing respect. But very different than in society, how we say you only get honor when you make the honor roll. The Bible has a very different approach. So let's look at that. We're going to go, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to go old school. We're going back to the Old Testament. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 4. And if you've got a Bible, turn there. You can follow along on your device or in our pews right in front of you. We've got our big blues. Grab one. If you don't have it, take that home. That's our gift to you. The big blues in the pews brought to your home. So here it is, Daniel 4. Now let me give a little backdrop of what's going on here. Daniel is a Hebrew, and he's actually a Hebrew slave, and he's captured, and this is a setting in the year of 605 BC. And the Babylonian Empire is recorded by historians, not just in the Bible. And so the ruler of this time was King Nebuchadnezzar. How's that for a family, the future baby name right there? I want to see someone do that one. Nebuchadnezzar. And so Nebuchadnezzar is the king, and he is not a good king. In many ways, he's a tyrant. And in this day and age, we think we have problems with political leaders. This guy makes all of them look innocent because he would conquer, he would kill, he would encapture, he would enslave, and everything he would do was just wicked. And in fact, one of the things that he did that was notorious, he built this giant gold image, the statue, and it symbolized his power, his reign, his rule, the gods, and anybody that did not worship this statue would be imprisoned and put to death. So he says, either you're with me or you're against me, and if you're against me, you die. So that's how this type of king was. Now, Nebuchadnezzar captured a Hebrew boy named Daniel. And Daniel has a gift. Daniel is a prophet. Daniel is a prophet for the Hebrew. He's a Hebrew boy and for the God of Israel, Yahweh. And so he's got this gift, but the king doesn't worship God, the God of Israel. He just puts Daniel with a whole group of spiritualists, magicians, warlocks, other prophets. And he just kind of clumps them. He says, all of you in this one room, and when I need you, I'm going to call on you kind of for a bag of tricks, if you will. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is there and he's got this dream and he doesn't know what to do with it. So he's asking all the magicians, the warlocks, he's asking everybody, how do I interpret this dream? And nobody knows. But then he hears about Daniel. And now Daniel, think about our work situations, right? And so we're talking about today honor, but think about Daniel's situation. Think about his work conditions. And in fact, Daniel was put in charge of all the other magicians and everybody else. Think about his job. When somebody, the king proposes something, and many people know if you disagree, this could be your last breath. Imagine his work conditions. You think your boss is bad, right? Imagine him. He is there, and anything the king says goes. And so the king calls Daniel. Daniel comes in, and this dream is given to him, and he prays. And notice this in Daniel's 4. Now, this would be the time for Daniel to let him have it. Because Daniel believes in the God of Israel, and the God of Israel proclaims that everything Nebuchadnezzar does is wrong. And in fact, this dream that Daniel interprets is actually going to be a prophecy against him. And so now Daniel knows this, and he's about to share with Nebuchadnezzar a prophecy against him. So here it goes. Look what he says here in Daniel 4:19. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. Belteshazzar answered, so here it is, the dreams presented, and he says this, "My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries." Notice what Daniel does here. Daniel shows honor to Nebuchadnezzar. Does Nebuchadnezzar deserve it? Nope. He refers to him, he says, "My lord," and in fact, this is going to be a prophecy against you, and he says, "I'm terrified to speak this against you." He's probably, some of it, probably terrified for his life, but he also shows honor to him, because he doesn't say, "Well, I'm just going to go down and be burned, and let me say this against you because God hates you." He doesn't just unleash all this. He says, "My lord," and he says, "I wouldn't wish this prophecy against your greatest enemies." And so he hesitates in sharing it, but he shares the truth. Paul says the same exact thing in Romans 12:9-10. Says this, the New Living Translation. "Don't just pretend to love others." Let me pause right there. Can we use a little more genuine love in our world? People not pretending, Christians not pretending, coworkers not giving false words of flattery, but actually loving each other. Don't we need that more than just maybe an Instagram comment? Something genuinely loving people. I mean, we can all see through fake love, right? Somebody invites you over for dinner, and next thing you know, you're sitting in an Amway speech, right? See through that. You're like, it's stuck. That's why I got invited over. Everybody knows when you're just pretending. So don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in what, here it is, honoring each other. Honoring each other. Now notice this. And this is what Daniel gets right. Paul says, hate what is wrong. When you are in this situation, Daniel did not justify everything King Nebuchadnezzar did. Everything King Nebuchadnezzar did was wicked and wrong. Plain, simple fact. Hate it. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good, but then he does not let up. He says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. See, friends, the world says, you only get honor, you only get love when you receive it. But God says, you get honor because you were created in my image. Wherever you come from today, you come here and God sees you and he honors you. And so that's where sometimes you hear in Christian faith, hate the sin, not the sinner. Now, that's not a full statement, but in some sense, what we're called to do is hate the action, but realize the person was created in the image of God, and so we are always to value each and every person. In fact, Peter, the right-hand man of Jesus, says it this way in 1 Peter 2:17. He says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. So if you're taking notes, honor, the first one is honor everyone. Honor everyone. Now let me begin with this. If we are going to honor everyone, here we have to ask ourselves the question, who right now am I not showing honor to? Who am I not respecting? Who am I disrespecting in my life? Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, says, honor everyone. Every single person you meet, honor them. So what does honor look like? Well, let's first start with maybe what does dishonor look like? Dishonor is disrespect. Dishonor doesn't even have to be words. It can be as simple as rolling of the eyes. Or just that, not again. And maybe in a you're in a meeting at work and a coworker says something and this person again, or the drama, disrespect, belittling somebody, making somebody's ideas feel dumb. You devalue their ideas. Maybe you hate what is wrong, but you make a person feel dumb in doing that. You see their worldview is incorrect, and then you come and you look at them and just say, how could you hold that position? Now, here's where honor is important. All of us, if we were just to take a poll, I'm not going to do a poll here, of politics or different things, we would have different worldviews. And that's okay. And where we have to get good, and I'm not saying we want to fight for certain things in politics, keep doing that. You're allowed to hold your beliefs, but at the same time, we are called to honor each other. We are called to love each other, to show respect to the other person. You want a little tip to do that? One way to show honor to somebody, if you disagree with them in the worldview, ask them questions. Say, well, tell me about that. How did you get to that position? And you get to hear somebody's pattern of thinking, and what that will actually do for you, it will give you a thing called empathy. Because you will be more empathetic because you will realize how they got to their conclusion. Now, when you ask questions, don't do it kind of pridefully and say, well, how'd you get to that answer? You know, ask them gently and say, now tell me about this. Actually be inquisitive, ask questions, and learn from somebody's worldview, and you will gain empathy, which will increase your honor and it will increase your respect for them. Now, Peter keeps going here. Peter says this. He says, show proper respect, honor to everyone. Love the family of believers. So the second one there is honor the family of believers. Paul writes it this way in Galatians. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, let me pause right there. If you've joined us here this morning and you're just visiting and checking things out, we're so glad that you're here. Because we believe that this is a place, Wilshire Avenue is a place that you can belong, that you can call home. And it isn't a matter of how you've walked through those doors, whether on the honor roll or just barely scraping by. You're loved, you're valued, and you're welcome. And at the same time, in the Christian faith, there's something about being part of the family, and the way you become part of the family is confessing that Jesus is Lord. And sometimes it's a process of growing in faith. But notice what Peter's saying here. He says, respect everyone. And then he goes on and says, love the family of believers. It's so important to him that he says, yes, respect everyone, and then really love believers. So for those of you in life group, love your life group. Celebrate each other. Care for each other. Take each other meals. Does somebody need to be healed, maybe going through cancer? Go surround them. Lay hands on them. Pray for them as a group. Encourage each other when somebody maybe is going through a hardship. Maybe you support them financially. How do you help each other? How do you love and honor the family of believers? I remember as a young kid hearing a story of an older, kind of wiser, gentle man. He was discipling, mentoring, a younger, kind of upcoming pastor. And this upcoming pastor was sharing this story with everyone. And he was sharing the story. He says, they were walking out kind of on the pier. And he says, I, as a younger pastor, I was complaining about another one of my brothers and sisters. And I said, oh, I don't like the way so-and-so does this and that. And he said, the older gentleman, who was so sweet and humble, he said, he stopped me in the tracks and he says, hey, do not dare talk about another brother or sister that way. And he said, I was just shook. Because it hit him, the gravity of what he said. That is a family member that I spoke ill against. And this older, wiser, soft-hearted gentleman spoke abruptly. And he said, that was the only time he was very abrupt to me. He said, don't utter another word on this matter. Because that was showing respect and honor to the family of believers. And in fact, we're supposed to honor and respect everyone. That's the call, to honor our family, take care of them. Maybe it's even showing up here and just honoring people with a word of encouragement, a smile. I had somebody share with me a few weeks ago, just showing up. Sometimes they're newer in our community, and just everybody smiling says, I don't even know their names, but man, I feel like home when I'm here because people remember me. They remember my name. Remembering each other's names, honor somebody. There's so much honor when you remember somebody's name and give them value. So thirdly is this, the last part of that, 1 Peter 2:17. So show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. We'll touch on that next week, how to honor God. Lastly, honor the emperor. This one could be tough. Number three, honor those who lead. Let me ask this question. Do you honor your boss? Or do you talk poorly about your boss? Students, your teachers, do you complain about your teachers? Do you speak ill against them? Or do you honor them? Parents, one of the things the Bible says to honor our parents, and the promise is that things will go well for you. Some of us have parents that don't know Jesus because we haven't honored them and shown them that love. Let me show this to you in the scriptures. Jesus says this, which is fascinating, in Matthew 10:41. He says, whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Some of us don't have because we hold on to honor. We don't give honor away to the people. He says, if you receive a prophet, as a prophet, you treat them, you respect them, you honor them. The same thing as you saw on this stage, we are to honor the leaders. We're to take care of them, their teams, the difference makers. Our worship band that is here, and so many of them serve, honor them. Write them thank you cards. For the difference makers down the children and lead your children and your students, thank them. We've got difference makers here that are giving up weeks of work to go off to camp with high schoolers. How many people would give up money to go spend with high school students, right? Think about how honoring that is. Do we show honor to the leaders? Do we take them out, encourage them, give them gift cards, love them, bathe them with honor? Because whoever receives a prophet as a prophet actually receives the reward. And now we don't do it for the reward, but there's more blessing that comes when we do these things. So honor leaders. Honor our president. Now this might be hard for some of us. And no matter who's in office, honor them. For some of you, it might be easier. In the past, it might have been harder. Some of you, it might be harder now. Wherever you are, blue or red, Democrat, Republican, left, right, honor. Pray for them. No matter how hard it is, pray that God would work in their lives and show them honor and get off Facebook and don't dishonor them. Don't dishonor friends. Don't dishonor leaders. Because friends, the world has enough dishonor and shame, doesn't it? We need to be different as Christians. Even when somebody doesn't, we can hate what is wrong, but we show honor and love no matter what. Imagine what this world will look like when we do those things. Because here's the last point is this. Number four, outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo. Look to the person. I mean, I love this verse because as a former athlete, the there's not many verses that talk about competition. But look to your left and your right and say, I'm going to outdo you in honor. I mean, go ahead right now. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to outdo you in honor this week. And look back at them and say, no, you won't. I'm going to outdo you. I'm going to show you more honor. I'm going to show others more honor. Friends, have honor competitions this week. Honor people that maybe it's challenging for you. Honor people in your lives wherever you live, wherever you work, and wherever you play. Outdo one another in honor. Because it's God's kindness that leads people to repentance. It's not speaking ill of them or putting Facebook posts why you're so right and they're so wrong. Have somebody be so wrong and you love them so much. Talk about the world's gonna ask what's going on. Because when our minds, as we Pastor Mark talked about last week, when our minds are transformed, things begin to happen. Because now our lives get transformed and now our communities will get transformed because honor is shown, because the person is valuable no matter what they've done. Friends, I'm excited for what's gonna happen. For what's gonna happen in this next generation, what's gonna happen in this church, because we are going to outdo one another with honor. There's going to be so much honor in this city, in this nation, because what begins to happen in here and all around the world. Friends, you can change the world with just a few kind words. Daniel, do you know what he did? Listen to King Nebuchadnezzar's line after this. He says, at the end of time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High, I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is eternal. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. His life was transformed. Now, here's the other thing. If you are a leader, be humble. Because some of us, we're going to outdo one another in honor, and it's going to fall short because here's what we're always going to look for. We're always going to say, well, that person doesn't honor me back. When honor is proper and done in the right way, the leader serves. A glory-hungry leader will only take and consume. How did Jesus lead with power and honor? He served. He served humbly. And in fact, he showed honor when honor wasn't due. He talked to the woman at the well. He hung out with the lepers. He hung out with the sinners. He was accused of being a drunkard and a glutton because that's who he was hanging out with. And lastly, as Jesus washed his disciples' feet, because here's the pure example of honor. Because we're called to honor our leaders, but if you're a leader, lead well. And you're not just to receive things from them. Your goal is to serve the people you lead. To get down on your knees as Jesus did, and he washed his disciples' feet. Who was one of Jesus' disciples? Judas. Jesus knew one of his disciples were going to betray him, yet he washed his feet. Maybe you're complaining about your employees or your children. Honor them. No matter what they do. Friends, imagine what we can do. We are free from trying to judge people and figure things out because we always know the answer, and the answer is honor. The answer is respect. The answer is love always. Friends, I can't wait to see what's gonna happen as we live this out and trust and live by that power of the Holy Spirit. Who's with me? Come on, let's pray. Father, we trust you. We're here, Father, not as people that deserve honor. Father, I come as a broken person, and yet that's what we're about to partake in this part of our service, Father. We remember that Jesus, you died on the cross. You sacrificed so we could be lifted up with you. You died on the cross and you rose again from the grave. Father, we thank you for that. And we as a people want to honor you, and we want to follow and show honor to others. And I encourage you all in this room to pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me for my mistakes. You can just pray this in your heart right now. Forgive me for my mistakes. Thank you for showing me honor when I didn't deserve it. God, help me to show honor to everyone I meet. I want to honor you, and I want to honor everyone where I work, where I live, and where I play. God, I will outdo others in honor this week, only by your power and your spirit. So help me, strengthen me. Help me to honor everyone always. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.